Well, I guess it's been maybe 6 or 8 months ago the Lord began to impress a sermon on my heart with the subject of more contained to it. I think that I've been in a couple of settings with this church and preached a couple of sermons on this subject of more. But it seems like the Lord still gives me more. And I had full intentions of going a different route this morning, but I want to look at Ezekiel and I want to preach this morning on what I call more of the progress of God, or more of the progressions of God. And this is seen, of course, as the Lord is leading Ezekiel on out into the waters, the deep waters of the unknown, and as he is following God. And I am reminded in the Scriptures that the Lord, of course, wants to progress us. He wants to grow us in grace. He wants to add to our faith. He's not interested in leaving you where you are in your comfort zone this morning. And so he will inevitably uproot you. There will be another step. There will be a progress. There will be that step beyond where you're at. And so it is here with Ezekiel. The Lord is taking him more into the progress of the depths of the unknown waters. And, of course, in this thought of more, I've often said, if there is more of anything God wants from me, I'm certainly a candidate for it, aren't you? As James talked about it, he said, he giveth more grace. Well, I thank God for the grace that I've had up until this point. But if there is some more grace, I don't want to have to wait to get to heaven and find out I missed it. I want to mine it out. I want to get in on that grace. And so we're going to look at more of the progress of God. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of Ezekiel 47. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east. The waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward and led me about the way without the outer gate, by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. When the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. That's approximately 1,500 feet. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000, and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. When I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because the waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything that shall live, whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto En-Eglim. There shall be a place to spread forth the nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. Verse 12. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade. Neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall be brought. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months. Because their waters, they issue out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. I believe this morning that the Lord is taking Ezekiel into a further experience with Him. Sometimes that can be uncomfortable, more times than not, because we sort of have a little idea about where we are right now and about what is transpiring and how deep we've tested it, and it seems all right. We become comfortable with it. But yet, as in Ezekiel's case, the Lord is taking him on out, wading out into the deep spiritual waters of God, leaving the stagnant position and situation in which he's at. More of the progress of God. The question this morning is this: are you willing to go as far as God wants to take you? Or maybe an even more important question is, how far is God going to take you whether you want to go or not? So look in this text. There are three things that I want to point out to you as to the progress of God, how He leads us on beyond where we are at right now. First of all, I'd have you to notice that more of the progress of God, more of the leading out into the depths of the unknown waters, have their measurements. Have you noticed it? Look in verse number 3. The Bible said, "And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And then again in verse number 4, the Bible said, "He measured 1,000 cubits. And in the latter part of that verse, "He measured 1,000 cubits. And then in verse number 5, verse number 1, first part of that verse, "He measured 1,000 cubits. I'm glad this morning to find out that God is a God of measurement. It could be possible that's why his son was a carpenter. God loves to measure. He's constantly measuring. The Bible said in Isaiah 40, verse 12, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in the balance." God has everything measured out. He is measuring here as far as Ezekiel is concerned in his life. But you know, so many times we fret over the measurements of the unknown as far as our future is concerned. Of course, God is out there measuring the stream for Ezekiel. But before you fret over the unknown depths of tomorrow, it would do us good to turn around and see what God has measured up to this point. For the same God who has measured out our past is measuring out our future. And if He's done a good job in His measuring behind us, He can do a pretty good job in His measuring in front of us. And so I notice that these streams are not the only thing that's measured out in Ezekiel's life. There are other things. I look back in the earlier part of the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 41, verse number 1. The Bible said, "Afterward he brought me to the temple and measured." So before he measures out Ezekiel a stream, he has already measured him out a sanctuary. Aren't you glad for the sanctuary that God has measured out for your life? And then I notice in chapter 43, not only does he measure him out a sanctuary, but in verse number 13, the Bible said, "And these are the measures of the altar after the cubits." He has already measured out that Ezekiel knows of a sanctuary. He has already measured out that Ezekiel knows of a sacrifice. And so the same God that measured out the sanctuary and measured out the sacrifice in Ezekiel's life is also measuring him out some streams. He not only has measured out his waters, he's measured out his worship. Aren't you glad when you look behind you and realize that God has been measuring on your behalf? I'm glad that in this old world, somewhere in time, 50 years ago, God measured out a birthplace for me. I am not an accident. I'm glad that 15 years later, as a little old boy walking down a little old road, the Holy Ghost showed up and the Lord drew out His measuring stick. He measured for me a place of salvation. And then I'm glad that God measured out in time a place for me to serve Him and a call to proclaim the gospel. And many places such as this morning that He let my path cross with that we might be able to worship together. I'm glad for the people of God that He has made a part of my life. He has measured that out for me. I'm glad the Lord measured me out a wife. And one that loves Him and one that travels every mile just about that I travel to serve Him. Thank God for the lady that He measured out for me. And I'm glad that He gave me a family, 4 children, that in His process and in His time that He laid out and He marked the places on His ruler and He gave to me. And I'm glad when all the measurements of this life are over, that everything that has been measured for me, that there's still some more measuring. Because John said when he looked into heaven, he saw a man with a measuring reed in his hand, and he went around measuring the city that is in heaven. So thank God when the measuring of my past is over and the measuring of my future is over, I still got an eternal measurement that God has measured out in heaven. Aren't you glad that He's busy measuring on your behalf and measuring on my behalf? But I'm saying He measures out as far as our past, so it ought to encourage us. Yes, Ezekiel, there are some waters out there that He's measuring for you. There is some streams out there, but look into the past and see what He has measured. It will encourage you as to His measurement in the future. I do not know what you will have to wade through in life, in your tomorrows, but I know that the God who measured your past is the God who measures our future. Now, a couple of things that I want to point out to you concerning the measurement of the unknown depths of the progresses of God. I notice, first of all, that they are pre-measured. Look in verse 3. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me. Which means he went out and measured the depths before Ezekiel ever had to experience them. He went out and he measured down and he said, Ezekiel, we're about ankle deep here. Come on out, son. And then he measured on out and he said, Ezekiel, we're about knee deep. You can come on out, son. And then he measured out and he said, Ezekiel, we're about waist deep. You can come on out, son. He has pre-measured the waters that Ezekiel is going to have to go through. Now, while I may not be able to comprehend, I cannot see certainly beyond this hour, beyond this second. I do not know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow. And while those depths seem so murky and so distant, yet I know that He has measured them on my behalf. He will not be caught by surprise. The waters I go through will not be a secret to Him. The progressions of my life He already knows all about because He is an eternal God who is not locked up in time as I am. And so He has pre-measured the depth. Job said, He knoweth the way that I take. He has not only pre-measured the depths, but He has pre-measured the distance. He says, about 1,500 feet out here, boy, let's go. Ankle deep, 1,500 feet. Knee deep, 1,500 feet. Waist deep, 1,500 feet. I'm glad He's got it pre-measured, aren't you? Oh, the measurements of my progress with God are pre-measured. But not only are they pre-measured, they are predetermined. You notice where these waters come from? The Bible said in verse number 1 and verse number 12, they issue out from under the sanctuary. Now, before you give the devil all the credit for some of the situations in your life, you may ought to pause a while and realize that God is the one who not only pre-measures these waters, but He predetermines the depths of them because they're His waters. They are divine waters flowing from out from under the sanctuary. And He releases the water as to the depths He wants here, and then He unleashes the water as to the depths that He wants here. He determines how much water that He wants you to experience in each place, in each situation in your life. It is pre-measured and it is predetermined. The psalmist said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Ordered by the Lord. He determines all that. Only God knows how far He will take you, and only God knows how deep He will take you. But God does know that. He is in the measuring of our progress into the unknown depths of what we shall have to face in our tomorrows. Ezekiel's being taken on. But the second thing I would have you to notice, not only are these progresses with God measured, but I want you to notice that they have their movements. Certainly the Lord is not interested in leaving you where you are. And many times we're not going to volunteer to go. I mean, if you'll just look around you and see the experiences that some of the folks are in that you know firsthand and personally, if the Lord were to come to you and ask you, do you want to go there? Of course, your answer would be, not me, Lord. I'm not interested in that. And certainly that's the human side. That's who we are. We don't want to face sorrow. We don't want to face heartache. We don't want to go into the depths of that which we are not aware of and that we have not experienced. We wouldn't do that, but God's interested in moving us. And in this progress, there it involves movements beyond our circumstances and situations that we are experiencing even in this day. But I want you to notice these movements. First of all, I want you to notice how in these movements He adjusts you or He acclimates you. God is so tender in His workings, isn't He? And if you'll notice again in verse number 3, after He measures, the Bible said, He brought me. Now, one of the most dangerous things that a young boy can do when he's 7 or 8 years old, 6, whatever, is to be standing by a body of water and look up at his daddy and say, Daddy, I want to learn how to swim. Because any red-blooded American dad knows what to do. You pick him up and throw him in. But I notice that God, He's not like that. He doesn't just sling Ezekiel out into the depths of which he cannot swim. But He acclimates him. He takes him, first of all, into the ankle deep. He lets him experience that for a while. And then He moves him on into the knee deep. And he can experience that for a while. And then it's the waist deep. And then He shows him the waters that are so vast and so deep that they cannot even be gotten across. He said, you can't swim across it. He is acclimating him. So it is in the Christian life. So it was with Abraham. He came to Abraham and he said, I want you to leave this country. Second thing he did, he separated him from his father. The next thing he did is he separated him from Lot, his nephew. Then he separated him from his son, illegitimate son, Ishmael. Then he asked him to offer up Isaac on the mount. And then he took his precious wife Sarah from him, but he did one step at a time. He laid no more on him than he could bear, as the scripture says concerning you and I. And when I was a young Christian at 15 years old, He dealt with me in that tender age of being in Christ. And as I grew, He dealt with me as I grew in Him according to that point in time. And even in this hour, so He deals with each of us according as He has led us out. And so He does it a step at a time, such as the 23rd Psalm, how the shepherd first leads the sheep by the still waters and the green pastures, and then He leads him through those dark, deep valleys and up on the table where the enemies are. Our Savior, our Lord, He leads us and He moves us, but He does it in adjustments, and He does it as He acclimates us in the faith. So He did with Ezekiel. He acclimates him. But not only in this movement as he moves you, thank God, a step, just as tenderly, at a step at a time. Not only does he acclimate him, but I notice He accompanies him. Every time you get moved, the good thing is He moves with you. He's not only been out there and measured it, but He's come back and joined up with you. And He's moving along. Oh my. I wouldn't want to face the difficulties of life without Him. I'm glad He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Ezekiel, I'm leading you out into the depths. But what I want you to know is I'm going to bring you, the Bible said. And He brought him on every occasion. He brought him. I'm glad He doesn't point in that direction. He doesn't send you there. He doesn't give you the directions and tell you He will meet you over there. But He, every step of the way, goes with the people of God. Oh, yes, Joseph had to go down into the land of Egypt. Yes, he was sold down there. Yes, he was a servant. Yes, he was lied on. Yes, he was put in prison. But did you notice in every occasion the Bible would say, and the Lord was with him. They couldn't put him anywhere. They couldn't sell him to anybody. They couldn't do anything. But what the Lord wasn't with him. I cannot promise you what your waters will come, what waters will come in your life and what you will experience, but I can tell you He will be there. The songwriter said He was there all the time. And the only way you're going to know He's there is you're going to have to go there. And sometimes we don't like that. But oh, it's good to know and to sense His presence when it seems as though the dark clouds are rumbling above us and all around us and the waters are swallowing us up, to know that Jesus has showed up on our account. That's what makes Him so precious. To know that He's not afraid, as your pastor said, of those waters. He has already conquered those waters. And so there is the measurements of our progress with God into the depths of the unknown waters. And then there are the movements. There are the movements of these waters. And by the way, I noticed that it's only Ezekiel and the Lord that is making this move. And as God progresses, you don't turn around and get mad at somebody else because they're not out there with you. They got their own waters. Somebody got upset because maybe Daniel wasn't in the fire with the three Hebrew children. Well, I said they wasn't in the lines then either. So, you know... Oh, I may not be there in your experience. Your pastor may not be able to go into those depths of your experience. And your loved ones may not be able to show up there. But what makes the difference is He said, I'll be there. Put the attention on Him. And so they have their measurements as we progress out into these waters. They have their movements. But then I want you to notice with me lastly as Ezekiel has been led out into the unknown depths of this progress of experience of God in these waters, it has its mission. Sometimes we have the idea that God's sitting on the throne twiddling His thumbs. He don't have much to do, and that's why He kind of operates us like checkers or chess. He's just making moves to, you know, entertain Himself. But that's not the case. There is a purpose in every move that He makes in your life. There is a reason and a cause for every progression and every step that He is leading you in. He's not playing games or entertaining Himself. He is doing a work. There is a mission here, and I want you to see the mission and the purpose. It has its ministry, could I say. The ministry of this progress. Somebody said, well, what good can possibly come out of the waters that I'm in now? I want to say to you, God knows because He has designed them and He has a ministry involved in it every time He's trying to do something. He's trying to do something, first of all, for you. You see, we can't help it. When we first get saved, we think this thing's all about us, and it does include us. I mean, the Lord loves us, and He saved us, but we somehow think that when the Lord did save us, He wrote Handel with Care on the side of us, and we get a little upset. The devil gets too close, or if it rains on our party, and if the sun don't shine all the time, and if life gets a little difficult, we go to crying out and say, you know, I got saved and everything, and that TBN preacher told me that all the bills would be paid, and I wouldn't have any problems, and I'd be healed and everything else. Now look, what's happening? I'm going to tell you what's happening. He's ministering to you. You see, when Ezekiel begins this progress, the first thing he does is he comes out into ankle-deep water. Now, that's an experience. That's God's water. And the Lord has led him there, so it's all right. But I tell you, you can have a party in ankle-deep water. I mean, in ankle-deep water, you can run, you can jump, you can splatter, you can just have a time without any fear or hesitation at all. You know why? Because only about 1/10 of your body is underwater. The other 90% is in control. It's, boy, I'm a Christian and I love the Lord and I've been saved. I go to church. I'm thinking about teaching Sunday school. We have a time down there. I know you are. You're having a time, and it's all right. Go ahead and have a time. I don't want to spoil your party, but I just want you to know that you're still 90% in control. Well, you say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, I notice that he brings Ezekiel out of that little bit of water. It's all right. It's wonderful. If you're there this morning, enjoy it. But just, I'm just warning you. It ain't always ankle-deep. And then he moves you on out and it gets a little knee-deep. You know, you ever step down that cool water, comes up to your knees. Woo! Feel them waves. Now you still, I mean, you got to be careful if you're if you're a Christian, you're at the coast, I guess you call them. And if you're at the coast and the water waves are coming in, I mean, and you've moved on out and they're up to your knees, you have to be a little bit careful. It might, you know, just the right one might sweep you out. You be careful, but still, yet you can have a big time down there. I mean, you progress. I mean, you've added to your faith. You even tithing now. You started going to church Sunday night, thinking about Wednesday night. You having a time, knee deep. The only problem is, 2/3 of you still in control. We don't mind getting into the situation as long as we can run the show. Huh? He's sort of in charge of the situation. He can get in there when he wants to. He can run. I can't run as fast as he did when it was ankle deep. He slowed down just a little bit. He can still jump pretty good. But he's lost a little bit of his control. And then, all of a sudden, he's thinking, what's happening? And he's grabbed and he's pulled out. He's taken out and now it's waist deep. Now when you get into waist deep, you have to be careful because, you know, they'll start having them signs up there saying, you know, there's there's be careful, and no lifeguard on duty, and the currents are here, so you need to watch out right here. You could be knocked down and get in the current. You could be drug out, but stay in. I mean, you can do pretty good. You're still pretty confident. I mean, unless you're really scared of water. Now, my wife, her name's Esther Williams, and I know Esther Williams, she won a gold medal, but it didn't affect my wife none. She can't swim a lick, and she said the reason why was is her mama always told her when she was a little girl, don't ever get in water until you learn how to swim. Well, you know where that left her. I mean, she begins to panic when it gets right here. But, you know, you can make it there. You can still wade around a little bit. There's not a whole lot of jumping there. Probably no running at all because, you know, you just can't move that quick while the lower part of your body's underwater. But you still, the good thing is, 50% still in charge. You're still 50-50. Don't you like that Christian life? It's 50-50. Well, you got the Lord, but yet you sort of do what you want to do and when you want to do it. And you can sort of still manipulate the situation and you can still sort of control what's going to happen, what ain't going to happen, where you're going to go, what you're going to do, and all that other stuff. But did you notice the Bible said he took him in verse number 5 and then fed them waters, and Ezekiel said, oh, man, you can't even get across them waters. You know what God's interested in doing? He's ministering. In this progress, as He leads us out into the depths of the unknown waters, He's ministering to us. But you say, well, preacher, what's He trying to do? I'm going to tell you what He's trying to do. He's trying to get you out in the water so deep that He can take you and do you like this and hold you under until He sees the bubbles. Because it is in those depths, you can tell by the words of Ezekiel, he is overwhelmed by these waters. He has finally been brought to a place that is beyond his capability, beyond his control. He can't run in this. He can't jump in this. He said, matter of fact, you can't even swim in this. He said, these waters are waters that will engulf you. And that's when it's 100%. Now, I'm not talking about 100% you. Brother, you just lost it all. You have no more ability, no more capability. I had two men tell me, neither one knew each other, but they told me on two different occasions that they both had an experience of drowning. Now, they didn't die, but you understand what I'm saying? They went down for the third time, and their lungs filled with water, Brother Ken. This may be encouraging if you ever get in a situation where you know you're going to drown. I don't know. But they said the strange thing was they battled, they fought, they come to the top, but they said on the last time down that they could not refrain, and the lungs just naturally sucked in all of that water. But they said, preacher, did you know when my lungs got full of water, the fight was over? There was no more strain? And both of them said, we just kind of went like this. And we said to ourselves, well, it's over now. If we get out of this one, somebody's going to have to pull us out. Because we can't do it. The Holy Ghost is interested in taking you out into the depths of the water to where He can crucify the self that is in you. He can rob you. He can take the energy that you have, push you down under in that situation. Have you ever been there? To where you had to look up and you had to say, God, if I ever get out of this one, you'll have to pull me out. He has ministered unto you. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And they said, what's he trying to do? He's trying to kill you. He's interested in doing what? Saints, I need to tell you right now, God has one interest in mind, kill you! You say, why? So he can give you that resurrected life. And operate out of the energy of the Spirit instead of the energy of the flesh. So much of religion operates off of that. You know, they just got enough religion to get to the ankles. Every now and then a knee do. Well, honey, God's out to get you. Oh, he'll move you out into the unknown depths of the waters that he's ministering unto you. Death. But not only good news. Not only is he ministering unto you, but he's taking you out into the depths of these unknown waters because he wants to minister through you. Now the question is to be asked this morning, are you in this thing just to get your needs met? Or do you want God to use you to help somebody else that's hurting today? The only way that you and I could experience salvation is that Jesus had to come, he had to die, he had to be crucified, he had to suffer, and out of his death came eternal life for me and for you. And so it is as God ministers not only to you, but as he ministers through you, he wants to touch the lives of others. But he's got to take you to where he can. And did you notice these same waters that Ezekiel had to wade through? Did you notice what came out of these waters? Look at it in chapter number 47. He said in verse number 8, concerning these waters, they go down into the desert. They go into the sea. And the waters, even the waters of the sea, shall be healed. He said that it came to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. There'll be a great multitude of fish. And he goes on down to talk about the fruit and the trees that shall bear fruit in verse number 12. But he said, every bit of it came out of the waters that I had to experience. And I say to you this morning, God has some waters. He has some depth. He has some unknown that he's going to lead you into and lead you through. And it's not what's happening at the moment as you assess the situation that really counts. As we look at what is taking place around us and the heartaches and the situations, a lot of times we give up hope, but that's not what counts. What counts is downstream. What is going to come out of your today, the experience of the waters that you're going through right now? What is God going to do through those waters tomorrow? And if downstream he is able to touch a broken heart and able to save a soul and able to minister to people, then God has ministered and worked through you to touch the lives of others in those waters. Dear experience, I don't know about you, but this is not a game to me. It's not a show. I'm not interested in the title preacher and evangelist traveling across the country from church to church. I'm interested in downstream. I'm interested in the hearts that can be changed and the sinners that can be saved and the souls that can be comforted. I'm interested in what can come out of what God does through me. And I fear and tremble when I think of that because I don't know what waters that involves. But I do want to say to you, I want to make a difference, don't you? I want to be able to see that God is touching the lives of my children. I want to see that he's ministering to the folks that when I stand and preach, I want to know that God is able to do something through me. But I know that the only way he can is he has to bring me through the waters. And then out of those waters can come abundant life. God's wanting to bless somebody else. I got a little poem I come across here a while back. I'll read it to you. It said, Lord, I'm drowning in the waters of perplexity. Waves of confusion crash over me. I'm too weak to shout for help. Either quiet the waves or lift me above them. It is too late to learn to swim. I had a fellow testify in a meeting just a few months back. And as he testified, he said, Preacher, I wouldn't wish what I've went through in the last year on my worst enemy. But he said, on the other hand, I wouldn't trade what I've learned and what God has accomplished for anything in this world. God has a ministry. And He wants to do that ministry through you and through me. And it involves the progress of those unknown waters. But the only question is, will you yield to what He wants to do in your life? Will you surrender and submit and say, Oh Lord, I will let You take me to where You want to take me and do through me what You want to do through me in the progress of the waters that You lead me.